Seat Breakfast with Now.
Join the home of brilliant entertainment with shows, movies and sport on Now.
Seat Breakfast with Niall and Show.
Good morning to you. Welcome along. It's Tuesday's Beat Breakfast, July 16th.
Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday now. Unfortunately, I lied. I have a couple of things to say this morning. I lied in the WhatsApp group. The weather I thought was going to be sunny at this hour and we were going to hit like a higher temperature and it was going to be bright. It's actually not happening until about 8 o'clock tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
You were just
12
premature.
Hours early. Yeah. Okay. There is going to be sun and there is going to be high temperatures this morning.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the first thing I want to say to you. And then secondly, there's a little bit of an elephant in the room with myself and Killian because he kind of fell out with me yesterday because he claims that I blanked him. We were meant to be somewhere else this morning. We were meant to be in Tipperary. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
And Killian asked me, would I like to go for a cup of tea in his house, right?
Oh, okay. And for lunch as well.
No, yeah. I don't remember the lunch date.
He was
right?
a bit lonely yesterday because he was begging us all, can we do something like this
afternoon? Yeah, I wanted to go to Smith's with you yesterday and he said no.
Well, he didn't say Smith's, he said Penny's. And I didn't want to go buy boxers with you. Sorry, that's weird.
And then I asked someone else to go to Smith's with me, obviously.
You asked me to go to Smith's and someone in the office was like, did he just ask you to go to a toy shop? And I was like, yes, he did.
Yeah,
anyway, go on.
Anyway,
your cup
so
of tea and your lunch.
So I wasn't meant to be going home last night, right? Mm-hmm. So I said to Killian, no, if I'm not going to Tipperary, I'll go home like straight away. But then, right, Cathy Wex messaged me and said she was working in Waterford and would I like to go for lunch? Mm. And in her defence and my defence, I haven't seen Cathy in a few weeks. So I did change plans slightly and swerve and say to Killian, I am going to actually meet Cathy. So he's taken umbrage.
Umbrage.
But
I mean, he wasn't good enough yesterday with Cathy.
No, he only offered me a cup of tea.
Right. I asked to go for lunch and not many days do you have a free afternoon. I said, we'll do something. And
I
then
always,
a Cathy Wex comes along and
drop like a hot
friend,
snot.
Ooh,
drop
Cathy.
Like a hot snot.
Because I always pull the child card, don't I? I have a child.
Yeah, I have a child.
Yes, you pull the best friend card.
Actually, now just pull that back card, for a second. Can I tell you what I had for lunch?
Go on.
I had lasagna, coleslaw, salad, chips. And I am still thinking about my lunch yesterday.
Lasagna and coleslaw, a great mix.
No, yeah, there was. Oh,
lovely.
Such a combo!
It's the combo, the different tastes. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Put salt on it.
I sometimes have, and people are horrified with this, but if I have spaghetti bolognese, I'll have some coleslaw with it.
Fine.
Contrast.
Yeah.
Contrast.
I'm okay with that.
Anyway, we've done about 8 tangents and we're only on the air 2 minutes.
Ah, how are you?
Good morning to you. On the way this morning, we've got a dilemma we need your help with. We have got a chance to win on Beat the Bomb and a bit of crack between now and 10. Let's do it.
Morning. Right, everybody pick up their phones. Everyone.
Yes.
And you.
Yeah.
You at home.
Okay.
Pick up your phone, right?
Yeah.
And go into your WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And go into your
emojis,
right?
Okay.
Okay, what is your very first emoji on your phone? You can WhatsApp us 085-102-9103. Mine is side face laughing emoji.
Mine's the same.
No way.
Yeah.
What's yours, Kel?
The little smirk. Like
I think they say the side face laughing now is very boomer, as they say it.
Yeah.
You know, cool kids aren't
okay,
using the show.
What's your second one?
My second one is the Spanish flag, because I was using that quite a bit on Sunday. I used it in tweets and I used it in texts and
okay.
stuff.
Okay, mine is a heart. Killian?
Mine is the hands in the air, like praise. Like,
like two hands?
Two hands in the air.
Okay, and finally, we're just going to do three. You're doing down now. Down.
Yeah,
one,
down
two, three.
Yeah,
like, no, sorry.
Yeah, down the way is the most popular, as far as I know.
And my third is this. Face palm.
Okay, my third is eye roll.
Oh, of course. I'm surprised that's not your first.
Yeah.
Go on, Killian.
Mine is the like angry with the like dragon smoke coming out like that.
God,
like,
you're constantly angry, aren't you? And smirking and...
He's either hands up in the air or he's whatever.
Angry,
okay,
yeah.
Well, do you think that when you send a message to somebody that it feels naked if it doesn't have an emoji? Oh, there's the sun. There's the sun outside, sorry. Somewhere in the
cities. Yeah,
cities.
I do.
Yeah.
No, oh God, they're flying in now.
Okay.
We'll come to that in a moment. I don't, right? I can quite happily just send a sentence with a full stop, no issue with this. But then even my mother gives out to me because my niece, her granddaughter, told her that you cannot send a message without an emoji in it. So my mother, whenever she texts me, she could be texting something very serious about my car is broken down and she'll put a cat emoji at the end just so she has an emoji in it.
Yeah. My dad's the same, yeah. But he over excessively uses them. So it could get like, you know, if the race is on, he'll say good luck or something, and he'll send 3 Formula One cars, 3 checkered flags, 3 smiley faces, 3 muscle arm, you know, a lot of them.
And I think as well, like, your mom is a good example, and my mom does it as well. It's like when you discover emojis for the first time, it's like so exciting.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm very flahoolock with my emojis. Like, I don't, like, most of the time I will give a heart or like a,
you'll dish them out. I'm going to do an analysis now and look at the Shona Lyons messages I've had recently.
According to this, our survey says 4 in 10 people believe that a text feels naked.
Oi, oi. I hate the way Niall texts.
Without an emoji. Stops.
I just can never read you. Do you know, like, that's what I mean when it feels naked. Yeah. It's just like if someone sends an emoji, you know, like, they're grand. And then if they don't send an emoji.
Look, you're the white here. Look, you're the white here. All our recent messages. Nothing. You're giving me absolutely nothing. I got one laugh in the last 2 weeks. So,
yeah, but you put the full stop at the end.
Is it just me that you don't give the emojis, Tara? What's going on?
I don't think so. Anyway, 4 in 10 people believe it. A text feels naked without an emoji. Is 2,000 people revealed 41% believe a message needs to include an emoji to be complete. Like, I don't know if, like, I've thought about when you text me how I feel, if it doesn't have it. Like, I do think it adds a bit of spice,
yeah,
you know?
But, do you know what? I think it's like a really, really awfully rude swear word. You've got to use it in moderation for it to have an effect. If you use it all the time, then it's just, oh, there's the emoji crying laughing girl. Simpleton.
Hey, Niall.
Apologies.
Well, I think I have to up my emoji game when it comes to Niall. Like, the most popular emoji, according to this, the most frequently used one was just the smiling face. And I never use the smiling face. I just feel it's a bit bland.
Yeah, it doesn't say enough.
It's not my personality.
The red heart is often used for the various different reasons. You know, if you really like a text or if you just want to send a little bit of support.
Or somebody. Yeah, I was going to say, if there's a bit of an emotion attached to it, it's not necessarily like I love you. It's just like I got you, boo.
Yeah. Third. So go on.
It's like the comment section. The heart is like when someone posts on Instagram. It's like heart, heart. Yeah.
The third one is controversial.
This is Brendan's most popular one because he's just WhatsApped us, and it's the thumbs up.
Yeah, controversial.
It is controversial. You've got to be very careful how you use it. I would generally use a thumbs up as a response emoji as opposed to sending it as an emoji itself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the response emoji just goes, yeah, I hear you, that's cool. Whereas thumbs up on its own can be very much, I want out of this conversation now. You know?
Yeah. I think a thumbs up is like that I'm done.
It's a bit like cool.
Yeah. Oh, which is worse though? A thumbs up or a cool?
Well, I don't know.
You're scared when I give you both of those, aren't you?
Yeah. Not just text with full stops the whole time.
Babe, that's like, called English.
Yeah, it's
just I know English language.
It's just texting. But I think Irish dads as well love the thumbs up. I think their keyboard is just thumbs up or okay. Mm.
Can we just talk for a second about when you are used to using emojis at the end of a message and then you're texting somebody that maybe doesn't warrant an emoji and then you put a love heart in and you go,
by accident.
No.
Yeah, I've done that a few times.
Yeah. And a few of the messages coming in on this. Ian was on to us. Crying, laughing, sideways. How do you describe that? Okay?
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Okay. And the arm, the muscly arm. Congratulations to Caitlin. Her most used one currently is an engagement ring because I got engaged over the weekend.
Oh my God, so you're literally like firing off the engagement emoji like to everybody. I'm engaged. I love that.
And also just a shout out to Mary. She's got the crying, laughing, sideways, the red heart. And one of my favourites I haven't used in ages. I don't know how you quite describe it, but it's the...
Okay. Which one is it? Show me. You know, is that like delicate after a night out?
Well, I kind of know if somebody's made a show of themselves or if I'm cringing, I use that one.
Oh, I never use that one. I don't know. That looks sick to me. That looks like I'm not well. David was on. So the first David, I'm fascinated by. Actually, David, would you answer the phone? No. David, I'm fascinated by yours. Top three, right? A nose.
Okay. Keep going.
A block of cheese. And crying, laughing.
Maybe a little explainer here,
Davis.
Little explainer
on
that.
What are you using the nose for? Is that sniffing? Is that nosy?
Maybe.
And do you vote for cheese or no cheese a lot? Is that where your cheese is?
Good point here from Brendan. He says, what I hate is when emojis are used to replace words in a message. Like, I can't wait to go on my umbrella on island and have a few cocktail emojis. Yeah. It's like a puzzle, isn't
it's
it?
It's like you used to get those, like, kids, like, not, you know, they were books, like... Oh, what are the, what am I trying to think of? And like there was some like
you know, good explainer.
Like, not the like Christmas a, ones.
Yeah, like an annual or something. And yeah. every page it was like, you know, one page would be spot the difference, and then one page would be like a like a cro- not a crossword, but like the equivalent. I'm please let's speak to David. My words are gone. I have no words. I just want to use emojis for the rest of the day. David, good morning, hon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Good.
We're good. We're good. Are you still in bed? Or are you up and about?
No, I'm just here at work. I'm just about to start, actually.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Now, you are known as the nose guy. You're the nose guy. Your most used emoji is currently a nose. And we asked for a bit of an explanation. You did text us. We're still not really the wiser. So explain one more time. Why is the nose your number one emoji?
It's a nose because the person I'm currently talking to, I keep calling him a smell and keep putting the a nose emoji beside her name and all.
Love it.
Are you trying to chat this? Are you trying to win this girl
flirty
over?
Flirty behaviour, flirty bants, or what is this?
Just mostly to piss her off a small bit to annoy her.
Okay. Right, so you smell. You smell.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of respect it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm no expert, but I mean, I would like you're. Are you throwing in the odd love heart as well, just to kind of balance it out?
One or two every so often.
Sparing.
But mostly the nose.
Yeah, mostly the nose every time I talk.
How's it working for you?
Is she suitably pissed off?
No, small bit, kind of.
Where to from?
And what, like, is it going well? Like, do you think this is...
the real deal? Yeah.
At the moment, yeah. Unless I keep pissing her off more, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, you keep us posted. I'm invested now, I have to say. I'm invested. Keep
David,
us up to date.
You're a star. Thanks for chatting to us. Have a great morning.
Thanks, son.
Bye.
Bye.
You smell. It's wooing.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning. Beat Breakfast on Beat 102, 103.
Talking about party pieces. When you were small, did you have a party piece, a skill, a song, a dance, a trick that you always did at family gatherings? Maybe you still can do it. Maybe it was a moonwalk, an impression. What was your party piece when you were small that all your aunties and uncles would gather around and you'd put on the show? Now, show, I'll start with you. Did you have a party piece?
So when I was younger, my favourite movie was Annie. I just loved Annie. I loved the story, I loved the music, the whole thing. And I later went on to play Miss Hannigan, which was unfortunate.
Yeah,
But I loved the music. And I couldn't sing, but I did my best. So at parties, I would have done my version of "The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow." Your face is looking at me going, "No, please, please don't sing, Shona."
It's probably a similar face to your aunties, uncles and people standing around.
Sure they were all in party mode. She's great. She'll go far. But nothing compares to Aoife Kearn's party.
Okay. I've been told about this, but I haven't seen it with my own eyes.
When we were chatting about it and you said you had your song and like it was a regular thing.
I wish I was a punk rocker.
Yes, but the other one is more impressive, I think.
Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go home. Now, bear in mind,
that's
quite a suggestive song. That's what I mean. They probably thought I was gas.
Oh my God, you just brought back a flashback for me. In my house, everyone was addicted to Chris de Burgh back in the
Lady in Red.
Not quite as wholesome as Lady in Red. I used to do a full performance of Patricia the Stripper.
You did
as a child. And Patricia was the best stripper in town, and with a swing of her hips, she started to kick. That was my party piece.
Oh my God.
That and the moonwalk. I used to do Michael Jackson, but I'm embarrassed about that now because obviously Killian is such a pro at it, you know.
So you go with Patricia the Stripper.
I also had a magic set that I showed that. I wasn't very good, but.
And what age were you when you were doing your
like
show
five,
me
five, six, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
And I loved, like, you know, when you're younger and you, like, say, for example, learn a song or something, standing at the mantle. standing at the mantelpiece by the fireplace. That's and brilliant. Like that tiny little step in front
your
of the
stage.
Yeah, that was my stage.
Yeah. I hear you, girl. I hear you.
Oh. Thursday mornings, Beat Breakfast. It's Niall's show with you. And yeah, we were chatting there just a few minutes ago about party pieces, particularly when you were smaller. And were you the one who was asked when, you know, there was a gathering or whatever the case may be to jump up there now, show? Jump up there.
Go on. Not a bother on me. Of course I jump up. Always.
The performer.
Yes.
Always.
It was just in me, Niall. It was just
now,
in me.
Tell me this, you were asking around and you've discovered some information for us.
Like, as suspected, like, we have a talented bunch, you know, we're media people. Mm. So it's no surprise that there's like party piece goers amongst us. But what I didn't expect was that Odrin Johnson, our sports journalist, has quite an unusual talent.
Isn't it unusual or is it just, I don't know if it's unusual.
It's definitely not. No. It's just music.
Well, can I just say then, I've never met a player
You've
like
never
you.
Met?
Like, I've never met a player like Odrin.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, God forbid.
You girls are players too.
In the words of
We're
Quay
talking
Wright.
The accordion.
Yeah.
You've never seen anyone who can squeeze a box like that, no?
Not like that, no. It was from such a young age as well. So, look, it turns out there's a YouTube video. Yeah. And I think you should just play what's your description, actually, Odrin? What is this? Like, why are you called the...
I don't know. I was 12, all right? There's no reason to be diving into
the ins and outs and the wheres and the whys.
But I really am fascinated by your name. You're the Gypsy something. What are you called?
No, that's not... That's the name of the song.
Oh! No.
Have you used YouTube before? Ever? You know? So normally they go with the song title.
No, I don't think I'd be going around with that name. I don't think I'd go very far otherwise.
What is the song title?
The Gypsy Princess.
The Gypsy Princess. Let's have a little listen. This is Odrin, aged 12, on the accordion. Flan Wexford.
And can I just say my favourite part about your performance is that you're sat out the front of your house on a bench and there's nobody else there.
Yeah, I really wish I hadn't told you this. Like, this actually has brought up so many like
traumatic memories.
This is something I didn't realise I'd be so embarrassed about. But there you are.
Though it is a talent. Like, you know.
No, it is. Yeah, but I didn't keep it up, and then I don't really play now. And then people are like, "Oh, do you still play?" I'm like, "No." Mm. And then
do you still have an accordion?
I still have it. Yeah, I have the same one in that video still. Like, it's up somewhere in Dublin. But.
Like, I would strongly suggest that you whip that out in the flat a few weeks. Honestly, I'm saying that a lot this week on the show. Yeah. But honestly, if you do really well in the streets of Wexford.
Like,
you can leave a little cap down, get a few bob.
And what kind of response did you get when you played as a kid? Like,
I think my parents were just happy that I was doing anything that wasn't just sitting around playing on TV or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Well, look,
we're
that's
impressed.
Most
I don't
talented
know.
So far in the year this morning. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Let us know, what was your party piece as a kid? 085-102-9103.
You hate us, do you?
Oh, right.
Poor Odrin. Okay. Now, well, look, we're getting unusual stuff in at the moment. Let's talk to Robert. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What are you up to? You're out working.
Yeah, working out at the moment, just after packing up the job.
Okay,
so I actually had to ask, I had to request a video based on your talent because I couldn't visualise it, I suppose, and it might be hard for people listening, but maybe just describe what your party piece is.
So I get each hand and I can clap individually as if I'm clapping both my hands at the same time.
Mm. So there's only one hand going and it sounds like you're clapping.
Basically, yeah.
I'm doing it here in studio and there's nothing happening.
Okay, can you do it there just like for audio purposes so that people can hear
you? Yeah, I'll try to see if I can.
That's just one hand.
That's one hand,
that's
lads.
Yeah, one hand.
Okay, now do both hands.
All right, hold on.
Yeah,
now.
Go on. It sounds like those clapper things that you get at the match, you know. That's brilliant. How did you discover
you had that? At a young age I could do that, and I was a bit of a weirdo for it, I was told.
Yeah, it is a tough watch. You've sent us the video. I find that whole area of, you know, double jointed stuff, pulling knuckles, cracking knuckles, I find all that really difficult. So but look, it is a skill. It's a skill.
I think it's really impressive, and I don't think it's weird at all. I love it. We might even put it up on the Beat Instagram because we've never seen anything like it, and that's what we're here for, you know.
No, that's no bother at all. Okay. I'm happy to show it to people.
Okay. Do you know what? I think you deserve a travel mug.
Yeah.
Give me another clap there. Go on. Two hands.
Will.
Two.
I can't. Robert, you're a legend. Have
love
a great
you.
Day.
Have a great Bye. Day.
I visualise exactly what he was talking about. It's quite impressive, to be honest.
I love the way we started with you did Patricia the stripper and Audrin played the accordion, and we're getting like these,
all sorts.
Yeah, really unusual talent.
And there's more coming in. Tom was onto us there, and he scares his family by turning his eyelids inside out. And he sent us a picture, but I'm afraid to tell you, Tom, that neither myself or show has had the heart yet to look at that photo.
I have not opened that. I appreciate you taking the time to send it to us, and
your words are enough for us.
I might get myself a cup of tea and see if I can brace myself.
Okay, now let's chat to Adele. How are you, Adele?
How are you doing?
Good. We're good, and we're good. Where are you this morning?
Just coming through Bon Clody here.
Okay.
In a minute.
All right. Okay. Go for it.
So when I was younger, I had my eye removed a couple of years ago, and when I was younger, my mom used to always tell me, you know, I'll get up there and show everyone what you can do, and I'd take my eye out and all. But little did she know, it'd come back to bite her when she was looking to get babysitters for me, because I used to just pop the eye out and chase them around the house with it. So they'd always ring her, but it was like, there was no mobile phones back then, so they'd have to go down to the local phone box,
and
ring her into work and stuff from the phone box.
To say to come home.
Yeah. He does take the eye out, it's under the fridge, come back.
Oh my God. Wow. Oh,
crazy. Okay, we're taken aback by that one, I have to say.
Yeah, you've left me speechless, the thought of it. You're a poor mum.
Listen, thanks so much for chatting to us this morning, Adele.
Thanks, have a great day.
No,
see you later.
Cheers.
Bye.
Let's get
through
just a couple more that are coming in on this. Firstly, Aoife was on to us about the party piece.
Morning, Ireland show. So I suppose my party trick would be Irish dancing. So I've been an Irish dancer for 26 years. I started when I was 2.5.
Wow.
So it was obviously very, very cute when I was small, and I would always get asked to dance when I was like really tiny. And now I just do it on nights out if anything remotely Irish or that I feel I can dance to is played. So that is my party trick.
I know that. Like, Sho did line dancing for about 2 months in the 90s, and she still whips it out anytime. Cotton Eye Joe, Tell Me Ma, or Bewitched comes on. Yeah?
Yeah, I don't have the same credentials as you, Aoife, but yeah, I do. It's part of my past. And you know what? To be fair, that's a really good one, because like, you can guarantee that like in any pub or at any wedding, you can get up.
Or if you travel, like, it's quite a fun thing to do, just launch into it in a pub in Sydney or whatever. Doc was onto us too.
Morning, lads. Not really a party piece, but back in the day, I used to love breaking into Richie Kavanagh around 12:30, full of drink. I thought I was muster. Oh, the wife, she is 5'3", a blonde, there is no finer. About her and her sister's little Morris Manor. I met her at the dance one night below, when in a scarty. I turned it in a comfort van that there was in 1940. First are from Mount Leinster, lad. That's right, that's the truth.
I want you at my next party.
Dilemma on the way. Right, we're going to talk Irish culture for a minute, because we are a very cultured crew here on Beat Breakfast.
Intangible heritage. So news over the last 24 hours, Gaelic football and set dancing have been recognised as part of Ireland's intangible heritage, and the weaving of St Bridget's Cross and Amdram are also new additions. Go on.
Amdram.
Amateur drama.
But like, yeah, like...
Sorry now. Sorry, as someone who's dabbled in Amdram,
it's brilliant and I love it for you. But like, surely every country has amateur drama. Like, what makes it especially Irish?
Because we have a whole festival, like we have an All Ireland Drama Festival. I don't know if every country has like what we have. I don't know.
Will I Google Spain Drama Festival?
Yeah, well, please
will
do.
Will I Google France? Will I Google Lithuania Drama Festival?
Even if they do have it, I suppose the whole point is ours is steeped in, like, you know, intangible heritage.
Let me give you a couple of other stats on this, right?
Okay.
As you mentioned, the GAA, it's Gaelic football and ladies' Gaelic football too have received the state recognition as cultural practices that are part of our living cultural heritage. Now, they joined 38 other cultural practices on the National Inventory country of intangible cultural heritage. And hurling had been added back in 2019, so got there ahead of it alongside camogie. Some of the other stuff you mentioned there, set dancing, St. Bridget's cross weaving and Irish Am Dram, and they joined practices such as illan piping, sea curragh making and snap net fishing.
I do love snap net fishing.
What's snap net fishing?
You've never been?
No.
I don't know what that... No.
Ah, lad.
I only went fishing once and I just...
Yeah, fish first, snap nets. I don't know. I've never been.
Ah, Killian.
It's a type of trawler fishing, the type of nets they use. But if you're a fishman, let us know what snap net fishing is. So there you go.
That's a few of the examples of what is being protected, I suppose. Yeah. But I guess we can compile our own intangible heritage list this morning on Beat Breakfast. Like, I think we need to protect the spice bag.
Okay.
Because we only got it like recently enough.
It still blows my mind a little bit that Ireland was the creator and home of the spice bag.
Banglestown was
people in the UK. It blows their mind when they come over here and have one.
Is that true? Was Banglestown the home of it?
There's a Daily Edge article about it.
Ah.
And my friend had tweeted about it.
Do you have a sign or a plaque?
No, we don't need one. We don't like to boast about it. We're not like that Ballinabula with the Guinness Book of Records or wherever that place is.
Do you know what blows my mind a little bit on the spice bag? Met somebody recently having the chats about takeaways, and she said to me, I won't name her because, you know, she might not feel okay about it, but she said she's never had a spice bag.
I've never had a spice bag.
Yeah, you have.
I've never had a spice
what?
Bag. Never
what?
Had one. Never had a spice bag.
Can we order one today and you can have it?
Never had a spice bag. What? Why?
Well, if I go to the Chinese or I'm ringing it, I'm kind of like, oh, I look at it and go, I could have a spice bag, but it's just bitty. You know, I don't really want bitty. I want a chicken curry. I want a meal. I want the rice. I want the sauce. And I want it all like as a meal, you know? So it's just, I've never got around. I'm not anti them. I'm sure I'll have one, but I've just never gone for it.
Strong argument for the fact that a lot of people would say a spice bag is a meal in itself. Would you say that, Killian?
Oh, yeah.
Is that when you founded it in Bagnestown?
Yeah, yeah.
It was that the aim?
The whole idea was to put it in a meal deal and have a sauce and a can of it.
Now, What's your sauce?
Satay.
Oh. Okay.
Right. Intangible culture.
Spice bag.
Yeah.
Spice bag, yeah.
Yeah, we've spent a long time in the spice bag. Any other suggestions? I've got a couple, right?
Okay. Go on, yeah.
Whinging and gossiping. Gossiping and whinging.
The chat.
We are really good at that and it is part of our heritage and our culture.
Yeah, okay.
And the other one, I'm going to stay with the food one that you had, was the chicken fillet roll.
Somebody has just said that on WhatsApp. Yeah, okay. It's a good point, well made. It is ours, really, isn't it?
Yeah, remember at the time we talked to Lewis Capaldi, he had his first one in Ireland. It blew his mind. No?
Yes, he had his first chicken fillet. You're right. Yeah. I do remember
he
that.
We discussed toppings and
sauce.
All the rest.
We judged him. Okay, look, this is over to you this morning. Like, what is it that you feel should be protected as part of our intangible heritage? 0851029103. Like, yeah, we're going to hear from people who haven't had a spice bag. I think we need... Do you know what? This could be like the Beat Breakfast camp out. It could be like, you know, we go to Banglestown for a night, Killian, and we all just... spend the night eating spice bags. What do you think? Do you think there's something in that? Do you think that's like...
I think so, yeah. You're not all staying in my house though. You can go away with yourselves.
We're not staying in your shed.
Yeah, but shack.
We'll put tents up in the garden. Don't worry. We'll froze at that now.
The aim is always to lift the spirits of the southeast, and I promise you this morning at some point in the southeast you would see a pocket of sunshine, and I asked you to message me 0851029103 when you came across it. Go, Niall. Good morning to Evelyn. Sun is shining over the beautiful Lismore Castle this morning. Evelyn, thank you so much.
Stunning
assignment
photos
understood.
That she's just sent
well
us.
Done,
blue
well
skies
done.
And
this
Lismore.
Is for you, darling.
You
this
got
is for
a pocket. You got a pocket.
Summer in the southeast. Summer in the southeast. Your music now. This is Beat.
Especially for you, Evelyn.
And there's more where that came from. You know what you got to do, okay? If you see it, you know what you got to do. Okay, we're talking intangible heritage this morning. The things in Ireland that you believe should wholeheartedly be protected. And this is a winner, winner, all right.
Mac, good morning. How are you?
Well, Niall, how are you?
Good. Whereabouts are you at the moment? And have you got a pocket of sunshine?
Well, no. I'm a warmer lad down in Wexford, so it's not... You don't hear it all.
You come back to me though, Mac. You'll get your pocket. Don't you worry. Okay, talk to me. What should be protected?
Right, so basically because I'm a Warver chap, so obviously the breakfast blah, which would be my top one. The crisp sandwich. Now, I have to be a cheese and onion tato.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the...
Mac, a bit more respect for the crisp sandwich.
Back up now. Yeah. Are you just going crisps in there, or would you, you know, go a bit crazy and keep the Waterford theme and maybe a slice of Kilmeade and cheddar in there as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, 100%. Like.
And what butter and bread are you doing there? Don't be rushing, Mac. Don't be rushing. We're trying to protect the intangible heritage of the crisp sandwich. Come on, what butter and bread?
Well, I don't know. I suppose Kerrygold, I suppose, would be the butter and the bread. Probably Brennan's will be my favourite. So I suppose that one at the end of the day. Mm.
No harm also just mixing it up on occasion and hollowing out a blah and just pouring the crisps in. You know what I mean?
Oh, the blah. Like, you can't beat a blah. Anyone that hasn't had a blah need to go and get it and try it out, because it's something that you'll only have an experience once that you go, oh my God, like, I'll have to have that. Even when I worked all around the country doing security, the lads in the different towns used to say, bring us up some blahs, will you?
The blahs.
Famous, right. Yeah. And then third on your list, I think you've given us a load there. We appreciate the love that you showed, the crisp
sandwich. The thought you put into this.
Go on, number three.
Yeah. And then obviously the breakfast wraps.
Yes, agree.
Mac.
But if you can't get a blah and bread is not fresh, wrap is the third option.
What's your problem?
I don't know. I just don't think there's enough substance in a wrap to get. Hang on. I don't think there's enough substance to hold what a breakfast needs. You know, like it's like. Would you not go roll as another option? Like, well, you're going straight to a wrap, willy nilly.
Yeah, but that's too common.
Common. You are common.
I agree with
Mac. We knew that. Okay, so you're going wrap. And what are you putting in? All the whole shebang?
Oh, everything, yeah. Oh, yeah, everything. And even though when I copped there, actually during the week there, now I think it was on TikTok, someone actually chopped up loads of the food and put it into a roll then as well. Now, that's something I'll have to try now as well eventually.
Right. What do you mean? Like, just chop it up into little...
Chop it all up now, and it's I don't know, something new on TikTok that I've never seen before. They chop everything, like sausages, bacon, eggs, everything like that. I haven't tried it, but...
I've had this, not in a roll, but in, you know, a skillet where they can cook it in a bowl and it's all chopped small. Yeah. I had it in a cafe in Tramore a couple of years back and it was delish, I have to say. Delish. Like,
all right.
Okay, listen, you have educated us this morning. You're a star. We'll let you get back to work, and thanks for chatting
to us. Yeah, thanks for protecting the intangible heritage of this crisp sandwich and the blah. Yeah. Have a good day, hun.
Okay, so I'm not alone this morning, because Sabrina's never had a spice bag, doesn't intend to. I don't like the look of them. They look very salty, she says.
They're not salty as much spicy, aren't they, Killian? Like, I wouldn't call them salty. A spice bag.
Yeah, they're spice. It's spice kind of consistency, but it's really nice. Do you put extra salt in yours when you get it?
No. Well, I go sweet and sour salt sauce, which is controversial. Anyway, sorry.
David also says, I've never had a spice bag or chicken fillet roll.
You've never had a chicken fillet roll?
It's unbelievable, isn't it? How you get through life without ever just wanting to taste one.
Shameful, really.
Now, we did ask about the SnapNet fishing. Pat in Waterford has an explainer for us.
SnapNet fishing is a form of fishing using a net in between two small boats on rivers. It's very common practice in Carrick and Shore, Munkine area. It's not done anymore, but it's part of our heritage.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much for that. Thanks, Pat. Thanks a million.
I question the amateur drama on the list. Not that amateur drama is not brilliant, but surely everywhere is amateur drama. David was on. Some thoughts on this?
Yeah, you really weren't convinced that like it wasn't anywhere else.
I'm drum.
David says, coming from a theatre fella, most European countries have drama and opera festivals where only trained actors and professional plays are allowed. Ireland's very much into its amateur dramas and musicals, unlike other European countries. 'Tis great. Let's do a quick Google there. Amateur drama festival, Spain, held in the town of Girona since the year 2000, an important place on the European amateur theatre circuit. I'll leave that there.
David.
I'll leave that there. Get up. I got you in the morning.
Beat Breakfast. On Beat 102, 103.
Good morning. Wake up. Is a fry a dinner? Or, as some people are saying, and it's a fair point, I get where they're coming from, is it just a tea?
Tea.
It's just a tea. It's not a dinner, it's just a tea.
That's another argument altogether, isn't it? Some of the responses to my question on Instagram is a fry a dinner. How would you feel about this being served to you? Natasha, yep, love a fry for dinner every so often. Lump on a bit of soda bread there too. Mark says, replace the tomatoes with mushrooms. I'll be there in 20 minutes. Breakfast for dinner is elite. Lolly says, I'd need chips, then it's a dinner. Somebody else said the dream. And Kira says it's missing fried potatoes of some kind though, or chips and pudding. So let's talk potatoes. Zoe is on the WhatsApp.
Hi Zoe, how are you?
How are you, lads?
Good.
Zoe, did you see my Brinner?
I didn't. Okay. But it's definitely acceptable.
Okay, that's good. Good start. Okay. Where does it fall down in your opinion, Zoe? I can take it.
I know. Like, I definitely would say that you can have breakfast for dinner. Do you know? Sausages, rashers, do you know, the usual beans, all that. It's totally acceptable.
Yeah.
You don't feel that you need potatoes, but you do feel you need something of substance like that. So you'd go for the waffles, would you?
The waffles, yeah. Do the meat from potatoes, do you know? So you'd have your potato on it, that'll class it then as your dinner.
Yeah.
I'm gonna shock the Southeast, Zoe, and I'm sorry to tell you, I do not believe any kind of potato item has a place on a plate with a fry.
Oh no, fried potatoes, waffles, even like that when your other texter said chips, like anything like that will bulk it
if
up.
You're in America, they give you chips with everything for breakfast. Yeah, you know?
I don't get the need to fry the potatoes as well. Like, I chips, and I love chips, but just I don't see how they're friendly with a fry. To be honest with you,
she's weird. Sorry, Zoe. Sorry, she's weird.
I know they do. They go. It depends. Like that, it would depend on the time of the day that you're having it. Not in the morning, like early.
Yeah,
but if you're coming after 3-4 o'clock and it's kind of your dinner,
and a lot of people have made that point that to them it doesn't constitute
a dinner
unless. Because I've given spud anything from the spud family
it's kind of like the main with no accompaniment. That's what you're doing there with that plate that you have there. There's no side orders, there's no, you know, there's
So it's not complete, you
not
think?
Not complete. Incomplete. That's what I think. Listen, Zoe, you're a star. Thanks for chatting.
Thanks so much.
Have a good day. No, let's fly through some of the messages coming in on this because there's quite a mixed feeling. Firstly, Nora was on. Definitely would show on this. A fry is not a dinner. Similarly, Marianne was on to us from Ballyhale. Absolutely. A fry for dinner hits different. Add some chips and you're talking elite. Carolyn was on. I had it yesterday with pudding, hash browns and beans. So you only put a half or an effort in there for your husband.
I did.
Yeah.
No hash browns. I do agree on the hash brown thing, but I'm not a pudding lover. Can I just say, Trevor really has kind of thrown a spanner in the works here. I love a good fry. I always said it'd be my last meal ever. Might just throw in a lamb chop. It'd be great. Oh God!
Again, that's a very certain style of breakfast in some places where they'll do
a lamb chop.
In America. Yeah, they'll do or a bit of steak or a bit of.
Oh God! With a sausage and a bacon, what are you doing?
All right, Catherine was on.
Good morning, guys. Happy Wednesday. Now, come on, let's face it. A fry is a meal you can have any time of the day, breakfast, noon, or night. It's just the best meal to have any time of the day. Enjoy your day.
Thank
Bye.
You. Thank you. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know why they even call it a breakfast, because you know you go to a cafe and it's an all day breakfast. Just give me a fry. It's 2 o'clock and I want a fry. You don't have to call it an all day breakfast.
Is that not a mixed grill though? Is that not the same as a mixed grill?
I think the chops would count as the mixed grill. Sarah was on to us as well.
Morning, guys. In relation to the fry for dinner, that was kind of a thing when I was growing up, but it was more of a tea.
Yeah.
I know. There's probably not much difference to people between dinner and tea, but I don't know. Fry was always a tea kind of thing. And a sausage sandwich or something. Which I think is okay.
No, I get that, hon, and I'll tell you for why. Because in my grandparents' house, like, they would have their main meal at lunchtime. So then, like, it might be a tea, which is like a light fry.
Yeah, that's like my granddad with the egg and chips. That would be tea after having a proper dinner.
Not a
at
heavy
lunch.
Meal,
And last one for now, Shane was on to us. God, Shane, you have an appetite. He says, here's my thoughts on the fry for dinner. I would say yes, but I'd have to have 2 fried eggs, two rashers, two sausages, mushrooms, two hash browns, two black and white puddings, two slices of toast and beans. A Dumbo breakfast roll. Yum yum. Thanks from Shane.
Before we move on, I think you have an issue with Tom's five sausages.
There's a lot of sausages. It is a lot of sausages. No, I'm not saying I wouldn't eat five sausages. But
you seem to like see that as being weird. Like, I just always, like, sometimes he'd say seven or eight.
Seven or eight sausages in one go.
I know, one sitting.
It's unbelievable. I know, yeah. What a man.
Some man.
What a man. We've got a goss update on the way. So we heard what they had for dinner in the Lion's Keller household last night. And next up, it's dessert time.
Give me the goss.
On Beat with Supermax. Enjoy your favourite Supermax meal wherever you are. Available for takeaway, collection, delivery or drive-through. Supermax.ie.
So after she made the fry for her beloved husband, and he savoured it and really tucked into it, and he was so happy, then she decided to hit him with a favour back. Isn't that right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, before we get to that though, the story broke yesterday morning that lovers of the iconic chocolate company Cadbury have been left thrilled and delighted as another fan favourite from the past has returned to shops across Ireland. Described as the taste of nostalgia, the adored chocolate bar is returning to our shops and supermarkets, and fans of the brand can't wait. We're talking the Top Deck, one of the chocolate maker's most popular products back in the 90s. Describe what a Top Deck is for me, Sho.
So a Top Deck is your regular milk chocolate on the bottom, your Cadbury Dairy Milk, and then on the top, a layer of white chocolate. So, yeah, it's not a complicated bar. It was simplicity at its best. It was very popular in the 90s, and they say, I can't find the exact year that it discontinued, but it was sometime in the 2000s, I think. Yeah. So it's been a while.
I don't remember over the last 10 or 15 years hearing a huge clamour from people, bring back the Top Deck, we miss it. I've heard people talk about lots of
the
other
smiley bar
items, yeah. I don't remember this.
Well, now that you say that, there was a Facebook page dedicated to bringing back the bar, the Top Deck, and it amassed a whopping 1,800 followers.
Okay.
But it went dark.
So they are out there. It's prevalent, the Top Deck fans. So again, back to you. Lion's Keller household, 7 p.m. last night. What happened?
So will you put into the group that the Top Deck had returned? Now, I was actually aware of this because a girl called Natalie that I follow on Instagram from Wexford had put it up on her Instagram story last week, and I messaged her and I said, where can I get one of these? And she said they're now available in Tesco.
A lot happens in Wexford town. This is the kind of thing they're following each other and messaging each other about. Oh my God, you got a Top Deck. Where did I get it? One.
Right, I walked right into that one, didn't I? Yeah. So I just realised that obviously we were going to discuss it on the show, and Niall had
research.
Yeah. So I said, Tom, would you mind going to Tesco and getting me a Top Deck? And like, he obviously went, when he saw that whopper of a fry, he was thinking, I can't really say no to this girl. So off he went on a little bit of a hunt, shall we say. He had to ask two girls to find the Top Deck, and they are available in the shops now. So they're only available in a big bar, so if you're able for it.
And they're for a limited time only, we
have
to
say. Okay, off you go. One square.
How many squares did you have last night?
I had six. And can I just say, right, as somebody that loved the Top Deck, and I'm not being fussy, they're too thin. They've brought them back too thin. The layer of dairy milk is thick enough, but the white chocolate is not. It doesn't give you what you want. You can't really, like, look, obviously I'm biting it now, I've eaten it. I tried it last night anyway, but I'm just doing it again. I just feel it's not what it was, and it would have been better left in the 2000s.
That's good. A little bit of reaction on this. We'll start. Ian has just been on to us with his immediate breaking reaction.
The Top Deck. I've been dreaming about these. I've been dreaming about them. I was lucky enough, I lived in New Zealand for a few years and they still had them over there. It was a game changer. Oh, I can't wait for the Top Deck to come back. What a bar of chocolate.
Ian, I'm sorry, Ian. It's not what it was.
Still good, though.
No, it's not enough white. The white needs to be chunkier. Like, it's just, it's not like the ratio is wrong.
And Sabrina was on to us as well, and I suppose this prompts another question. If you don't really care about the Top Deck, what do you care about? She says they need to bring back a Drifter bar. I used to love a Drifter, but chew off
the
it.
Drifter was one of my favourite bars. The chew, the bite, like the caramelly wafer chocolate. It was a real, sometimes it had even you'd have to really go at it with your teeth. Oh, bring back the Drifter. Top Deck, I mean, try it for yourself. I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just saying they've got the ratio wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Just remember, BeTreatWise.net.
Did you really need to put that into the group last night? What? Go on, say what you did.
I just noticed when she posted the picture of it, and it, this even kind of blew my mind. Three squares is one portion. Now, we're all very much about healthy eating and balance and moderation. Yeah. But who eats three squares of a chocolate bar? I knew Shona Lyons was not going to stop it.
I said that rapper was passive aggressive. How are you now? How are you now?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I don't like change. None of us like change. Change is meant to be for the better, but sometimes it's just really annoying. Mm. And people have been grabbing a hold of this on X over the last week or so. And they've been talking using the hashtag, just change it back to how it was. And people are outraged at lots of different things that they just don't think are as good as they used to be. Or that they've changed for the worse. And we're going to touch on that for the first while on the show this morning. So let's start with the big one that everybody's kind of ranting about lately. It's very topical. And that's the bottle tops. Yeah. The plastic bottle tops on your bottle of Coke, on your milk cartons, whatever it is. I first noticed this when I went to Germany. It was in Munich in March. And I was like, well, this is the Germans, very novel, very different. But then within a couple of weeks, it has started to take hold in Ireland. So it's an EU thing. And as you know, they don't really come off now. They just kind of hang there. They just kind of hang there. And you try and pour your Coke into your mouth.
And you get a bit of plastic.
A bit of plastic, yeah. Or spillage. Spillage sometimes. Mm-hmm.
And then to try and put them back on sometimes. Back on. Like it just doesn't,
seem
to work.
Crystal maze.
It's like, am I supposed to take it off or am I supposed to just keep slogging away here to try and get it back? Yeah, it's like a challenge.
Yeah. Now we're told it's all for the greater good because people were separating the two and then it was two pieces of plastic litter. I don't know if I believe that.
Well, we must believe it. We must believe it is for the greater good because otherwise we've had a tough few months of it for nothing.
Just like we're meant to believe those paper straws are for the greater good.
Oh, don't get me started.
That'll be number two on our list. We'll get there in a minute. So that's the top one that a lot of people are giving out about. Yeah, we all want to do a bit for the environment, but by damn God, it's annoying. That plastic bottle top hanging there, banging you off the nose and banging your chin.
Yeah.
Paper straws then.
No, I don't.
They're for the greater good.
Yeah, no, they are.
Be two sucks and you've got cardboard, wet cardboard in your mouth.
And don't even get me started on trying to get a paper straw into the side of a Capri Sun. It does not work. It squirts everywhere. It's very sad. And like, I can't catch a break on it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. As a parent, can't catch a break with a Capri Sun. I'm not going around hopping off Capri Suns. can I add to this? And I said it in the last era, and it's just something that I felt very strongly about. And I suppose I'm glad that there is such a hashtag to, I suppose, signify the fact that it is a real issue. Just change it back to how it was. Give me back a Kit Kat in foil, please. And thank you. Good night and God bless. It just tastes better. And there's no two ways about it. Anybody that likes Kit Kats, shout out to my dad. Like, that man is could do a collab with
but
Kit Kats.
It's not even the taste. You know what it was? You'd slide off the paper bit. And then you have that little bit of joy where you rub the foil over and the Kit Kat logo comes through on it. And it's just beautiful.
Was there a nicer feeling than getting your fingers, right, and rubbing it on the top of that foil and seeing the Kit Kat logo.
It was
come
like
through.
Magic.
Just doing it slowly. Yeah. It's like a transfer or something. Yeah. And then what you do next is you break it off while it's still in the foil, piece by piece by piece. And then you take one finger at a time. And it tasted...
Don't break it with the foil off. You might have little bits of foil left on it then.
No, I always broke it with the foil. No. But anyway, that's not the point here. The point is the thing tasted better. Yeah. You've taken away two joys when it comes to Kit Kat. As Niall pointed out, the feeling, the touch, the smoothing.
There's a third joy, thinking that you were in Willy Wonka and you were going to get a golden
ticket inside it.
When you were a young person, I was like, I'm going to get a ticket. Yeah. I'm going to win loads of Kit Kats.
Hashtag just change it back to how it was. That's what we're talking about this morning. And we want your suggestions on this. It can be food, it can be a product, it can be something in life, it can be an activity. What do you think needs to change back to the way it was? And we don't have to go back to relic times here. There's recent stuff as well that just change is not good. 7.
Beat Breakfast on Beat 102-103. Good morning,
wake up. Okay, we want you to add to our list this morning. We're going to compile it over the next hour or so. Hashtag just change it back to how it was. People are angry at some of the changes being made to their favourite products and foods and sport. It's coming in quite a bit. And they want it changed back. Let's start. PJ, good morning. How's the form?
Morning. How's
now,
things?
Yeah, we're good, thanks, son. We're good. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks for being there.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
We don't get asked enough. Yeah. PJ, you make a brilliant point, particularly with the Euros just gone, because this left me scratching my head at times during the tournament. Talk to us.
Just the amount of teams that are going into tournaments now.
Yeah.
I suppose the main ones, I suppose, are World Cup and Champions League. Mm. That now, like, they're kind of... they're changing the amount of teams that qualify, like, so you have a lot of meaningless matches and one-sided matches. Say the World Cup in 2026 will have 48 teams.
No.
As opposed to 32.
Why?
But PJ, so, does that not mean that we have a really good chance of qualifying?
You'd think, wouldn't you?
Well, I think we're better off not qualifying, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It really got me in the Euros, PJ, because, you know, traditionally it was quite straightforward. The teams that finished first and second went into the next round.
Yeah.
This year, I did not have a clue. Third place teams, if this group went this way, then that third place team would get in. And it just felt like there were very few teams that actually went home at the end of the first rounds.
Yeah, it just, they drag it on too long. Just, I suppose from a player welfare point of view, players are playing kind of nearly all year round now.
Yeah.
The World Cup was on in the winter. That was all to, you know, it's all to suit. It all comes back to revenue.
Money.
Yeah. So, like, you know, if you saturate the whole kind of game, you get less out of their players. You get less people wanting to watch the meaningless matches. Yeah. You know, like, even take like the GAA. GAA very seldom sells out matches anymore. Like, maybe the Munster final and the All Ireland is the only matches they'll sell out now.
Yeah.
You know, because there's, well, I suppose there's two things there. If too many matches, and they've gone away from being able to buy tickets at the gate.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it all comes down to money. They don't want more matches to make it more exciting for supporters. They want more matches to make more money for them.
Yeah.
Same with the soccer, you know.
Yeah.
The more matches, the quality drops.
Yeah, and then interest drops. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like,
go on.
I'd say, like, the worst, I thought, to be honest now, the Euros this year, I thought the quality was, there wasn't many exciting matches. No. You know?
Do you know what? I even thought that in the final on Sunday night.
The final was a decent game.
No, the first half, Niall, it was Mickey Mouse around the pitch. Honestly, it was.
Bill O'Hurley over here in the corner has some analysis to talk
even
to
us. Spain, they came out in the second half, PJ, and they brought their A game, but somebody had a chat with them, obviously. First half, I was like, no, I could take or leave this now. I wasn't feeling it, you know. I agree with you.
England sat back like for all their matches, barring the first 45 minutes against Holland. Mm.
Yeah.
And everyone thought, oh, look, this is the real England. But they were reverted the side for the second half against Holland.
Yeah.
And the same thing against Spain. Like, it's like as if they went out every match trying to play for penalties, you
know? Yeah, I'd agree. And they were jammy with a few of those goals, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, like, if England had won, like, people would be... You can see, like, why people just wanted Spain to win. It wasn't anything to do with anti-English. It was just because Spain had beat the better team. They went out, they beat everyone that was put in front of them. They bet. Yeah, it came to the hard side of the draw, you know?
Mm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
England were lucky with that goal they got.
They were lucky.
Jammy, that's what you said.
Yeah, I'd say jammy.
Spain should have beaten them 4-0 on the night, you know?
Yeah. Well, first half, we'll move because they won in the end, and as you said, they've won every match.
Would you leave Southgate in place now, or do you think it's time for a new management show?
Well, you heard him afterwards.
Well, as long as he doesn't go to Man United, I'll be happy.
Okay, all right. They're talking about Jurgen Klopp. Yeah. That'd be interesting. Okay.
PJ, I thoroughly enjoyed our chat. You brought an awful lot to the table here this morning, and real kind of food for thought as we head into Tuesday, okay? So you have a great day, hon.
I will, you too.
Thanks, hon.
See you, PJ.
Yeah.
Top of the morning.
Wake up with your mates.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
It is Beat Breakfast for Tuesday morning, 8:23. It's Niall and Show and Killian with you. David, you're very confused. Sorry, the show was ringing you there. How are you this morning, David?
I'm not too bad, Niall, and yourself?
We are not too bad. You're live.
Live on the radio.
Keep you for a second here, but you text us in and we love this. What needs to go back to the way it was, David?
The weather.
Yeah. Talk to us, son. Talk to us about the sun.
Talk to us. I'm a courier and I'm in trousers.
Oh, yeah.
Usually I put on shorts in around April or May and they don't come up till October. And they're off.
Yeah.
So the weather is breaking our hearts.
Yeah.
So no shorts.
No shorts this year, no.
Not one day.
Unless the weather changes, of course, which I can't see.
Mm. Well, no, I don't know if you heard about the pockets of sunshine happening a little bit later on today, so it might be.
They must be happening in Wexford, because I don't think they're happening in Carlow.
Mm. You have to wait. You have to wait for your pocket.
Your pocket is coming. David, I was just saying right. Well, we're just saying, like, obviously this is a particularly bad summer so far, and we're holding out some hope for August might be decent. But everyone always says, oh, the summers were so much better when we were kids. Is that rose-tinted glasses, or is it true, do you think?
It's 100% true. Mm. I'm even getting memories on my phone now from even 4 or 5 years ago when we were getting 28 and 30 degrees.
Yeah.
I haven't seen 30 degrees in years. Have you?
No, but that 2018 summer was a ridiculous one.
It was a big birthday for Niall, and it was, that was a good summer, wasn't
it? Yeah, and my phone kept getting to that, it's too hot, you must cool
overheated.
Down. Overheated.
Oh, I'd love my phone to overheat. Listen, we're manifesting the shorts back on you.
Shorts for David.
For some point this summer. And look out for your pocket today, and when you see it, 085 102 9103. Alright, hon?
If any pockets of sunshine come in, Carla, you'll be the first.
Thank you, my darling.
Star.
Thank you.
You're
thank
a legend, David. Thank you so much.
Beat Breakfast on Beat 102 103.
Wake up. Do it. Your winnings last night. Well, it wasn't really your winnings,
no,
I suppose.
It wasn't my
you were
winnings
just winning by association.
Yeah. So there was many games at the Duck Race in Folks Mills 40th anniversary. Shout out to everybody involved. Thousands of people there, like, it was quite mind blowing. Folks Mills is such a lovely little village. Anyway, this particular game, we stumbled upon it, and it was a row of 12 chairs, right? Like, just spread out in rows, and all you had to do was pay €2, and you sat on a seat, and each seat had a number, and then a lady had a roses box, and it had
high tech
numbers in it, like raffle numbers or ticket numbers or whatever, and somebody picked out a number, and if you won, you won a cake of your choice.
And Eve won.
Well, she played 3 times.
Okay. So you spent €6 to get a cake.
Like, there's no skill involved in this game. You literally just sit on a chair. But the excitement, the woman said she'd never seen anybody react the way we did to our winning. It was just joyful.
What cake did you pick? What kind of cake?
She actually picked 6 buns,
right.
A mixed variety. There was a lot of like cakes with little ducks on them, and there was a tart there as well. Yeah, you could pick from. You had choices. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was
now,
brilliant.
One of the things that we learned yesterday, and actually has been reinforced by a message in already this morning, is the phrase duck race.
Problematic.
It's problematic. It can cause some problems with your predictive text messaging. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it happened to me yesterday afternoon, and I was texting Tom to say, how's your day, blah, blah, and he was like, how's your day? And I wanted to say that I was looking forward to the duck race. Mm. But for some reason, and don't judge me on this, my phone replaced the U with an I, so I was looking forward to the...
Will I say it?
Yeah, go for it.
The dick race. That's what she was text people. She was looking forward to the dick race tonight. Much bemusement, puzzlement by people as to what show was up to last night.
Yeah, the dick race. At least it was to Tom.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It wasn't to somebody that I didn't know. So, we had a little bit of a laugh about it. And then I was saying this to the girls in the office, and we said, what about those times when you have sent the wrong message to the wrong person?
Yeah.
How has it gone down? Have you had that moment of you've pressed send and then you've gone...
It can be a text, it can be an email, it can be sending the wrong thing to the wrong person, or it can be auto text.
Yeah, have you done it before?
I've done it years ago, but not recently. You know how careful I am with those kind of things, you know?
Yeah, I've had two, like that yesterday. I wouldn't even call it a clanger because it was just to him, but like, I've had two. One, I was working in a shop in Rathmines years ago, and I texted my boss giving out about my boss. At the time, it was a full like essay. And then the other one that I remember more recently is the day that the Queen passed away, and we were in a WhatsApp group with our boss.
Yeah.
And it was the same time that there was Garth Brooks tickets coming up for sale.
Yeah, it was Garth Brooks, yeah.
And I was texting Cathy at the same time, and she was talking about Garth Brooks, and I just sent in a load of cowboy hat emojis to the news
somber
of the
conversation
queen.
About the Queen's death. Yeah, it just seemed a bit inappropriate. Yeehaw. I want to mention Stephen because he got caught like you yesterday as well.
Oh, Stephen Hunt.
He says, we were thinking about going to the duck race last night and I wasn't sure, was it real ducks? I was looking for some general information on it and yesterday I put a snap up on my story.
Okay.
Trying to be funny, I said, does anyone know what the quack is with the duck race tonight?
Yeah, a lot of quack jokes in here yesterday. Love it.
But my phone auto-corrected duck to, not dick, much worse than that.
No, God.
Duck beginning with an F. Think about that.
Okay.
And it went on my story until people replied wanting to know where the beep race was.
Oh, God. Folks Mills has caused an awful situation on the messages, hasn't it?
Okay, come here. Have you got one for us this morning? Anything recently where you've been left mortified? Email or text that's gone wrong. That's after seven when your messages go wrong, either via text or via email after a show total. Told her husband yesterday that she was off to the dick race in Folks Mills in Wexford.
Okay, so we're saying it again, are we? We're saying it a couple of times emphasize just to reiterate what happened. Okay,
now,
yeah.
We're getting some honesty in this morning. Morning, Ruth, how are you?
Good morning, how are you?
We are good.
Darling, we're good. Now, we know you're in work, so we won't keep you very long, but this was bad.
So I had just bought myself some really nice, like kinky kind of underwear, and obviously wanted to show it off. So waiting hours for my husband to come home.
Yeah. Good for you.
So I said, here, I'll just send him a picture to show him, so he, you know, get him a little excited as well.
Yeah.
And send it on to him. No reply for a little while, and then I got a text, and I seen on my watch it was my friend. Mm. So I went to my phone then and I answered it, looked at the message, and it was my friend responding to the picture that I had just sent of me in my underwear. She said, oh my God, hon, you look lovely. And I just said, oh no. I immediately went really, really, really red.
Yeah.
And I couldn't face it for about a week. I was just going, oh my God, oh my God, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah, but you know what?
My husband...
You've got to be look at the positives here, Ruth. A friend is probably better than a work colleague or a mother-in-law or anything like that, you know?
Absolutely. And my husband thought it was hilarious, so.
Oh, my God, that is just brilliant. Are you still friends?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely.
Good. Relationship right. Still intact. Love that. Back to work you go. Thank you so much, and
thank you.
Have a great day.
Cheers. And you're getting a bit of a slagging as well this morning, just over your error. Ross was on to us.
Sure, you must use that word a lot if it came up in your predictive text so quickly. If it auto-corrected so quickly.
Yeah.
As for sending people the wrong messages, our auto-correct has let me down so many times. So you're not on your own there.
Not alone. You're not
I wonder
alone.
What it is. Like, I just feel I need to be more... Take a moment before I press that little arrow button, do you know? Like,
too rash.
Yeah.
And we've one from a non as well. Lads, I sent an email. It was for a different company with a cover letter to my current job. Oh, Lordy. I'm still in the job, but very, very embarrassing.
How do you get out of that, like?
There's no ground open like, up and swallow
me.
Top of the morning.
Wake up with your mates.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
We're going to talk about holidays. Going on holidays. A lot of people going on holidays at the moment. When you go on holidays, do you let it all swing free? Do you let it go? Do you go, I'm on my holidays. I don't know anybody. So get those bad boys out.
No, I was
not anymore.
Honestly, tell this and then I'll explain.
Well, tell this story. Okay. So just noticed this in the showbiz news last night and it made me smile. Peter Andre, mysterious girl.
Whoa.
He has recalled the moment he stumbled upon a well-known TV presenter sunbathing topless during a holiday and he simply said, "G'day." we're talking, and I have not heard this name mentioned in years.
Yeah, former X Factor presenter.
Yeah, Kate Thornton, who used to host X Factor before Dermot. She's a podcast. It's called White Wine Question Time. I probably get on very well on that podcast. And she says that she went on holidays. She was enjoying a girl's getaway. I was really happy to have a week off from the grind. And she says, I'm going to forget about work and everything for a while. And she says, I'm laid there on the beach and my friend kept saying, why don't you sunbathe topless? Mm. And I was like, well, look, just in case I run into anybody. And she then confessed she eventually gave in to the idea of topless sunbathing, only for Peter Andre to appear out of nowhere just after she ditched her top.
Mm. Oh no, I'm dying.
I took my top off and I'm sunbathing topless, and I'd been there about an hour, and then suddenly a shadow comes over me and I hear, "G'day," and it was you and you saw my boobs. And Peter, he said that he said it was very funny, and yeah, basically it's the last thing you want if you're going to be brave on holidays, isn't it?
Right, can I just say, in this case, do you not think that if it was you and you saw somebody that you hadn't seen for years and they're lying there with the top, the bikini top off, would you not just keep going?
I'd keep walking.
I think I would as well. I don't think I would put them in that, like, I can just imagine him going,
both,
like,
both of you in the situation.
G'day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, imagine the scramble for her bikini top. Mm. I've been Kate Thornton.
Have you?
Yeah. I've told this before. Years ago, when I was working in kids' TV, at the time, I went on my first holiday with Tom. I went to Portugal, and it was a very small kind of resort that we were in, or kind of apartment block, and there wasn't many families there. But there was this family, like, at the opposite end of the pool, and all week, Tom said they kind of kept looking over, and I was like, really? Now, at the time, I was partaking in the topless sunbathing.
Okay.
And, like, I'd stand up and put my top on to go to the bar and go to the bathroom or whatever. Like, yeah. I wasn't walking around.
Were you,
like,
in the pool?
No, I've never done the pool thing. I've just been in the comfort
on
of
a
my
lilo.
No. Swinging everywhere. Yeah. No. Yeah. Anyway, last day, and they were obviously Irish.
So you've been there all week.
They've been, yeah, we've been
Booby
7 days.
Booby MacBoob, you were all
what
week.
What did you call it?
Booby MacBoob. And on the final day, this family approaches.
Because we had to bring our cases down, you know. They were obviously on the same flight as us.
Oh,
yeah.
So you, and so they're Irish then,
you knew
they?
The Irish because they were around the pool with their cases. Anyway, they were at the opposite end, and I'd obviously put my top back on, and I was getting ready to go home, and the next minute, this little fella, I'd say he was maybe 8 or 9, and he came up and he said, "Hi Shona, can I have your autograph?
I watch you on TV."
Yeah. Oh my god, I was dying. I was dying for the fact that the mother was like, she's going home now, and she put her top back on, so
yeah,
you can go over and
now.
Ask her.
Yeah.
Oh my,
it's really inappropriate, isn't it?
Me?
Well, just, yeah.
Ah, no. Do you think?
No, I'm only messing. It's
no,
just
I was on
awkward.
My holidays.
I know.
I hand on
you
heart.
Never watched Attitude the same again, that young fella, I tell you.
And I've never gone topless again. It scarred me.
Yeah. Like, it is. When I was reading this, I'm just thinking, like, who'd be the worst to kind of meet? I think maybe a former teacher might be top of the list.
Yeah, or,
and I'm not saying anyone shouldn't. You wanna hang loose, go for it. But it's just that awkward scenario of meeting somebody, you know, a former teacher. Or also, I think everybody, like, works with a couple of lovely older ladies, and I'd hate to meet them by the with their boots. You know what I mean?
You don't want to go to Ibiza then. Honestly though, there's nothing wrong with it. It's
personal relationships and whether you want to see somebody in that position.
I think your boss would be the worst.
Boss would be pretty
it?
Bad. Yeah. Pretty bad, yeah. When I wake up in the morning, I gotta get up and get it. Beat Breakfast with Niall and Show. We all have strong feelings on celebrities. Celebs that we love, celebs we dislike, celebs that maybe we think are very good at what they do, but we don't particularly like them. You know, it's part of human nature just to kind of take a stance on famous people. But there has to be a group of celebrities in the middle that everybody agrees. They're sound, they're brilliant, they're lovely. Not a bad word said about them.
Universally loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this started in Reddit, and BuzzFeed have followed up on it. Very Americans kind of slant on it, but I just run through some of the people on their list. And I think I'm going for, if I had to just pick one on this, I think I'd have to go with Dolly Parton.
Yeah. I mean, there's nobody, like, if you don't like Dolly Parton, why? Well, like, what could she have done?
We're not even talking, you don't have to love her music. It just, as a person, she just seems like such a genuinely wholesome, lovely person who's done wonderful things for charities and education and reading and all that. So I think Dolly Parton. Anyone out there dislike Dolly, let us know.
I was watching the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders on Netflix, and she's in the last episode. She comes out and she performs, like, at one of their games,
yeah.
And she wears the actual Dallas Cowboy outfit, like, and I don't know what age is Dolly Parton. Like, she must, is she 70?
80,
I don't know.
80.
She has, like, the belly top, she has the hot pants, she has the knee high cowboy boots, and Eve was like, who is that? And I was like, who is that?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Sit down and I'll give you an education, girl.
And then she sang 9 to 5, and he was like, that's really good. And I was like, yes it is. Yeah, Dolly.
Okay, some of the other ones on this kind of official list, and they don't all have to be living. Robin Williams is on the list, and I think, again, most people in agreement, just a great guy and much missed.
Sad.
Now, show it a little issue on this one, but I strongly disagree with her. Keanu Reeves is on the list. What's your issue with Keanu Reeves?
I think I watched him in a movie when I was younger and I didn't like him in it, so I think I based it.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's, yeah, again, human nature. Again, if you read up on Keanu Reeves, the things that he has done for people, he just seems to be a really, really sound guy.
Okay.
And very quickly, a couple of others on the list here as well. Nicole Kidman, which I wouldn't have jumped to the top of mind for me. Also, we've got Julie Andrews, Michael J. Fox. And
America Ferrera is meant to be lovely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And Christina Applegate. It, okay, is a very American list.
Yeah. And the only one they have on and has been mentioned on our text as well is David Attenborough.
Yes.
And I think, yeah, we're in agreement on that one.
Marianne said David Attenborough, heart, heart. Can I just say, right, you've already, I suppose, disputed mine. Like, I said, university loved, closer to home, strong roots here in the southeast. Wexford Lynx, like kind of a yellow belly at heart, and I know his cousin well. I'm talking about Dermot O'Leary, and I've never met anybody. I've yet to meet someone in my lifetime that has said to me, "Show, I'm not here for Dermot O'Leary." And do you know what Niall said? Go on.
What were my exact words?
Well, not everyone might like his dancing.
Look, I like Dermot O'Leary. I think he's a great presenter, likable guy, but I just don't know if he'd be on the universally adored list.
Oh God, you're,
I think,
so wrong.
There'd be people who used to watch X Factor and see him do his routine and all that at the start and just go, you know, what a tosser.
I think most people can agree that we all miss your Saturday Night Starts.
Anyone out there who has strong feelings on Dermot O'Leary wants to put show in her place this morning.
I am
tell
so
us why you dislike him.
Utterly convinced. If you dislike Dermot O'Leary, you can convince me why. I'll give you a travel mug. Nobody can dislike Dermot O'Leary. It's not possible.
Okay, let's fly through some of the messages coming in. Paul was on Tom Hanks. Yeah.
Yeah, he's meant to be lovely.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg is Jamie's from Kilkenny suggestion.
Yes.
I don't have any feelings either way on Mark Wahlberg, but
why are you saying Wahlberg?
Wahlberg. Well, he's always Marky Mark to me. You know?
But not Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg appeared in an episode as himself of what's that program you and me were talking about recently? I think he was a producer on it. It was a TV show, Back Naughties. Why can't I think of the name of it? They're a big gang and they're all really wealthy.
Harry is the agent.
And the guy from The Devil Wears Prada is in it. He's really hot.
You know, it's on Four Lads and Harry is the agent.
It's something.
He's breaking into acting.
And they're like all hanging out in this big LA mansion and they're living the dream. And I think Mark Wahlberg is
the
director.
He's the executive producer.
What is that
know.
TV show? It was really popular in the noughties.
Help us.
Okay.
Mark Wahlberg is somebody who had a lot of trouble as a teenager. He was in jailed and stuff, but he turned his life around. So that's to be admired.
Okay.
Another message from Robert who says 100% Morgan Freeman. His voice just puts people at ease. What else we got? Ryan Reynolds, and that's from Owen. Good suggestion. He's known as a fairly sound guy.
Andre. The most university-like celebrity, Olivia Newton-John.
And?
Kylie Minogue.
Yes. I mean,
actually, that's fair.
She's just very down to earth. I don't want to go down a troublesome route, and I could get myself in trouble. We were at Taylor Swift a couple of weeks ago, and I think Taylor Swift is phenomenal in terms of what she's achieved as a businesswoman. But I made the point to show and a couple of people around me, I do think it's all very performed. I think it's all very an act in terms of I'm so sound and I'm so lovely. Whereas I think what you see is what you get with Kylie.
I would put Kylie in the same league as Dolly. You know, it's like up there with, actually, on the back of watching the Celine Dion
Entourage. Entourage.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Who is that?
That's
who is
Stu.
That? Oh, Stu. Stu, yeah. You're some man for one man. Yeah, I would put Dolly and Kylie in the same kind of bracket.
George was on. Graham Norton, Henry Cavill, Simon Pegg. You can't hate them. I think, again, people might have a strong feeling on Graham Norton. I love him, but others might think he's too much.
It's Celine Dion. Sorry, I was going to say Celine Dion.
I like Celine. But she's a bit crazy, isn't she? Like, obviously she's gone through a very tough time lately, traditionally.
She didn't give me, no. Yeah. Is she? Traditionally, yeah. Is she?
I don't know, I wouldn't like to be trapped in a lift with her. Like, you know. Adele is on the list here, and that's from Willie. I like Adele, but again, she might be too loudmouthed for some people.
I wouldn't have said Universal. Lorraine was on, Ant and Dec. Now, Lorraine, I'll have to split that for you, hon. And I'm really sorry to say this. And they were in my dream the other night.
Right.
Kathy, my friend, went sea swimming with Ant and Dec the other night.
Okay.
I would say Dec, universally.
you still have some issues obviously with Ant's behaviour over the years?
No, I just I don't get the same warm vibe from Ant as I do from Dick. I'd happily sit down with Dick.
Okay. Yeah, Ross, remember you were saying that something on our mind and stuff. Yeah, okay, we'll push on now, I think. if you have any other suggestions, keep them clean as to those celebs. 085 102 9103.
Dick! Dick!
Beat Breakfast with Now.
Join the home of brilliant entertainment with shows, movies and sport on Now.